Again the verse. Sakiti matvabra sabham yaduktam he krishna he yadava he sakiti achanatam ahimanam tavidam maya pramadat pranayena vapi yachchavah sartam asatkritosi vihara shayasana bhochaneshu ekota vapi achuta tat samaksham tat kshamayetvamaham aprameyam. Thinking of you as my friend, I've rashly addressed you. O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all those offenses. So what we are hearing now is Krishna, Arjuna speaking. Arjuna is a very good friend of Krishna. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is very interesting what Bhagavad Gita explains. Bhagavad Gita means the song of God, meaning it's a dialogue between Krishna in his original form. It's called Svayamrupa. Svayamrupa means his original form, his own form. So to say, God's own form, his body. It's not that... It's not that God doesn't have a form. No? It's known that man is made in the image of God. Yeah? It's not anthropomorphism. This is a very, very important point. And Srila Prabhupada told me this personally, that it's not anthropomorphism. I have to tell it, because I was not doubtful, but sometimes you think about this concept and you might think, you know, we are convinced of the philosophy, but still there are arguments which would explain otherwise. Anthropomorphism, everyone knows what it means? No. Anthropomorphism means Vergottung. The German word is Vergottung. Making something divine. Yeah? And especially a man. Anthro means like the man, you know, human. So you make human a god. You make a human a god. So either a historical person becomes deified. Deified means someone says he's God, you know. And it happens sometimes in history. It happens like in Christianity, you have it. It's a historical fact that Jesus became God for them. You know, the Holy Trinity, and he's the Son of God, and he's God himself too. So there you can see it. And someone might argue, oh, you do the same. You made Krishna God. You know, it might be a historical person and you made him God. But all the scriptures all the time, and Krishna in detail in the Bhagavad Gita explains, definitely it's not like this. It's actually exactly opposite. It's not that we imagine God looking like us. It's we are looking like God. Yeah? So in the Bible also it said that man is made in the image of God. So we understand this also in our tradition, that it's not that God looks like us, but we look like God. The form itself is divine. Yeah? And we can understand this from this point of view. If form, personality and body would not exist in the source, it could not exist in the emanation. If it would not exist in the cause, it could not exist in the effect. Very important point. Yeah? Meaning, if Mona Lisa would not exist in the mind of, who was it? Da Vinci? Oh, yeah. Da Vinci. Haribol! The Lord is coming! Huh? I don't know. The Lord is coming. With thunder and flashlight and smoke, the God appears. Haribol! So if the picture, the image, like the Mona Lisa, would not exist in the mind of Da Vinci, he could never have painted it, right? So the Mona Lisa is an effect of the cause, Da Vinci. So the effect exists in some form, or in the cause. Yeah? And you can see the cause in the effect also. So this comes the argument, the so-called theological argument in philosophy. It's a very old argument, theological argument, Telos is Greek, it means it's like the end, the purpose, and Zweck, the German word is Zweck. And it says that you can see in this world so much design and intelligence and harmony and not chaos. So you can see an intelligence in this world, which is an indication of an higher being, because intelligence is not, you know, floating through the sky, you know, and is just there. Intelligence is an aspect of a person. Only a person can be intelligent. But this is a side point. So anthropomorphism is this to think a man is God or becomes God. And once I was thinking about this point a little bit more deeply and thinking about the pros and cons, the arguments, how to understand it, and I was a little bit on the anthropomorphism pro side, and I was walking down in the kitchen and was talking with Chasachi Prabhu about this point. We argued a little bit, and I said, oh, what? And he was cooking. I said, oh, I want to go upstairs, because at that time we were showing lectures of Srila Prabhupada on the screen every Friday in the morning time. When we do lectures, we watched a lecture of Srila Prabhupada here on the screen. And I came inside the room, I opened, I offered my obeisances, and I looked, and Prabhupada was saying, it's not anthropomorphism. And very strong. And I thought, okay, don't speculate. It's not anthropomorphism. It means that Krishna, as he appeared 5,000 years ago in this world, this was his own form. This is the form of God. God has a form, and his form is spiritual. It's not material. And Vedic scriptures confirm this. We can take maybe our intelligence or our senses as proof, but these are fallible. Fallible faculties. The only proof we can have, substantial proof, is the proof of Shabda. Shabda Brahmana, the proof of the sound vibration, which comes from beyond this material sphere, from beyond this material universe. It's a sound vibration which comes from the spiritual reality in this material world to guide all intelligent and conscious beings. And this spiritual sound vibration, the Veda, explains Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. The supreme Ishvara, the supreme controller, is Krishna. And his body is Sat, means eternal, is Chit, full of consciousness, and Ananda, means full of ecstasy, full of happiness, of bliss. Vigraha means form. Meaning the form itself, the body itself, is made out of spiritual energy, which is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Imagine someone having a body like this. Pretty cool. And I think this is much cooler than being a void or a oneness or something, now, without expression, without individuality, without identity. If you think... if we think that this is anthropomorphism and the God is actually an homogeneous substance, oneness, it's quite identity-less. It's quite non-impersonal. And in that sense, it's very limited and reduced. God, on the opposite, as Vedic scripture explained, is a very complex being. Yeah? As a very complex being and having his own identity, his own self. And this self, the supreme self of God, is explained how it looks. And it's not, how to say, it's the most wonderful person, let's say like this. This is what the word Krishna means. Krishna means the all-attractive. This is very nice if someone is attractive. Someone is attractive, he's very, like, beautiful. Beauty is a very attractive feature of a person. And we are, it gives pleasure. It gives pleasure. When you see a beautiful person, it gives pleasure. If you see a person who is very rich, it's very attractive if someone is very rich. Nowadays we are in anti-richness. Eat the rich! eat the rich, it's a slogan. We don't like rich people. Why? Why is nobody liking rich people? Why is this nowadays such an anti-rich person mood? Why? Yeah, they're jealous because they're envious, exactly, because they are not rich. They are not rich. So So this reason, oh, look at this rich person, oh, it's horrible, oh, this yuppie businessman, oh, horrible, horrible, horrible. Oh, look at him with his Mercedes, what do you think he is? Well, it's just envious. Richness is a very nice feature, why not? Very nice. Imagine you have a friend who is very, very rich. He earns in a month 15,000 euros. You know, he does some on the stock market or something other, very ecstatic business. And he's your friend, and he tells, and you can have everything from him, not because you just want to rip him off, but you have a good relationship, and he gives, yes, you have 1,000 euros, I'll buy you this, no problem. Or if your father is very rich, you are rich automatically, no problem. So if someone is very strong, it's very powerful, huh? If some devotee is very strong, oh, very good, I know a friend of mine, and he is a Kung Fu European champion. It was a couple of years back, but he's still quite strong. No? And it's very nice to know. It's very cool to be strong, to be a fighter, whatever. Or if someone is very renounced, no? You know, a sadhu, he doesn't eat much, he's very renounced and detached and everything. No? Very humble, no? It's very nice quality. So there are qualities in person, and they are very attractive, and we're attracted. So Krishna means exactly this. Meaning the all-attractive one. Meaning, who has all these qualities which are attractive, but he has it unlimited. Meaning, he's unlimited rich. Much richer than Bill Gates. Not possible. No, Krishna is unlimited rich. Everything belongs to him. Everything comes from him. And he is unlimited beautiful. Swan is so beautiful. If we would see God face to face, you couldn't stop looking at him. We just look and look and look. It's unlimited beautiful. And he's unlimited intelligence. And intelligent. He's so smart. I mean, look at this world. It must be, it's not an easy thing to figure out such a world. Now, sometimes think about it. It's very difficult to figure out a system which works. Like engineers, you know, they think a lot, how does it work? And they build a cell phone, a computer, and it's a quite good job to do it. Huh? So, but the first step is you make a plan, you make a blueprint. And already this is a huge thing, and you can make like a blueprint of a perpetuum mobile. And you figure it out on the plan, you know, a perpetuum mobile. It's a machine which that you don't need energy, that it works, it creates energy by itself without losing energy. So it's an engine, you know, everyone thinks about it, no one figured out how it works. But it's like turning from itself energy. Perpetuum mobile it's called. So one thing is to make a plan of a special machine, but then to create it is even more amazing. So God is not only so smart that he thinks, how could the world work? He does it also like this. Nobody can copy this machine of this world. So Krishna is unlimited in every sense, in every regard, and unlimited, and that makes him all attractive. And he is a very loving person. Sometimes if a person has some very wonderful qualities, sometimes they, not always, but sometimes they get quite proud. No, I'm so beautiful. I want to hang out with beautiful people. Oh, you're so ugly or something. Oh, I'm so rich. I'm so strong. They become quite proud. I'm so intelligent. I'm more smart than everyone else. I figure out everything. So Krishna has so many wonderful qualities, unlimited qualities, but he's most humble. This is very interesting. Very, very humble. God is very humble. So I always said, everyone is the servant of God. But actually, God is the servant of everyone. He serves everyone all the time. And it's no problem for him. And sometimes people are complaining, oh, why only him and everyone has to serve God? But actually, he loves everyone most. And that means he serves everyone most. So in this supreme person, this wonderful person, who is described in the Vedic scriptures, he, from time to time, most astonishingly, appears in this world. And not only on this planet, on all planets which are inhabited, all the planets there is life. It's not that there is no life. We might not be able to perceive it, but there's life on all the planets. And he appears on all these different planets from time to time, according to his own sweet will. And it said Krishna has unlimited forms. because he's unlimited. He has unlimited forms with whom he can appear, in whom he can appear, so to say. And it's also him. But once in a day of Brahma, he appears in his Svayam Rupa, in his original form, meaning in the original form of his. And one day of Brahma is calculated being 8.64 billion years. Quite a long time, 8.64 billion years, 8,64 Milliarden Jahre. It's one day of Brahma. Brahma is like the engineer of the universe, there's the creator god, the demiurge. And once in a day of Brahma, all 8.64 billion years, Krishna appears on this planet in his Svayam Rupa, in his original form, God's original form. And this descent of God is called avatar. Avatar means one who descends. And this happened 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, Krishna, Supreme Personality of God, appeared in this world and showed himself. And did, of course, many wonderful things. The Puranas, the ancient scriptures, explain this appearance of God in this world. And when he came, he did many wonderful things. And one was, he was talking to Arjuna. And what was he talking? That's the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. It's, of course, very important what God has to say. It's not unimportant. It's very important. And we should listen to this. And I said, wow, God is speaking. Once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, if I would go in another universe, could I see Krishna there speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? And Prabhupada said, yes. But what's the use? You have Bhagavad Gita. Meaning the Bhagavad Gita is not different from the actual dialogue which happened 5,000 years ago. When we read the Bhagavad Gita, we can be part of the whole dialogue. We are still connected with it. Even though this event is distant in time and space, 5,000 years ago in another place, it's still present in form of this scripture, this holy scripture of Bhagavad Gita. We can still have the full advantage of this divine dialogue. And in course of this dialogue, of course, many things happened. Many things, Krishna explained many things about the world, about the soul, about himself, about time, and all very relevant things. And at one point, he explains about himself being the Supreme Person, being God. And Arjuna, for the sake of us, doubtful and illusioned and stupid living entities in this age, we are not so smart. Some, I hope nobody's offended. Some would agree, yes, humans and myself, I'm not so intelligent. So because we are so doubtful, Arjuna asks him, okay, you explain to me, you're the Supreme, but can you somehow show this to me? And it said, Arjuna doesn't need a proof, but he asks for our benefit, so that Krishna shows something which is very convincing, which no one else can do. And Krishna says to Arjuna, I cannot show this to you because this is too powerful, too big, but with your present eyes you cannot perceive my omnipresent form. But I give you a divine sight, I give you divine eyes, spiritual eyes, and then you have a spiritual vision and then you can see. And Arjuna very gracefully, gratefully accepts. And Krishna gives him this view. And Arjuna looks at Krishna, who is standing in front of him all the time in this wonderful, beautiful form. It's called Saumya Rupa. Saumya Rupa means very pleasing, very beautiful form. Krishna, as I said, his body is unlimited, beautiful. And it said his face is Padma Mukha, meaning like a lotus, so beautiful. His lotus eyes, Krishna's big lotus eyes. And he's always a beautiful smile, and is perfect in form. It's perfect, a perfect form in itself. And he has a peacock feather, and he's wonderful, beautiful. So, and Arjuna looks at his friend, and suddenly what he sees in Krishna, Krishna reveals, which is what is called the Virat Rupa, the universal form. Krishna reveals that the whole universe is in me. Because everything is contained in God. And what Arjuna sees in Krishna is the whole universe. Up, down, left, right, all the directions. And this is normally not possible. You cannot see everything in one place. I cannot see what's behind me. How can you see something which is everything when you are part of the system? When you're in the room, you cannot see the whole room. Except you are outside the room. Right? You can only see the room as a whole when you're outside the room. So how can you see the whole universe? Only when you're outside the universe. But how can you be outside the universe? Only God can be outside the universe. So he gives him a vision what Krishna has himself also. Krishna is outside the universe. He's inside and outside. Krishna is everywhere. So he gives him a vision from outside. And he sees the whole universe. It's that all space he sees in Krishna. All directions. All the places. And not only that, he sees also all time. Past, present and future. Meaning he sees time and space in Krishna. And this is quite astonishing. He sees all the planetary systems, all the living entities. He sees all events which happened. And it's a grand manifestation. It's a huge thing, so to say. Of course, I imagine you see the whole universe and all the time in front of you. How does this look like? You know, took too much LSD or something. Like horror trip or something. Maybe in the beginning interesting, but then, whoa. And exactly this is what happens. Arjuna becomes scared. Becomes quite scared. Because when Krishna appeared in this world, he behaved as one of us, you could say. As one of us. And he had relationships with people, especially with Arjuna, but these were spiritual relationships. And it means that we can love God, we can have a very personal relationship with God. And in this relationship, you kind of forget this is God, because the sweetness and love of the relationship dominates. And the aspect, the grand aspect of Krishna being God, the Supreme, is quite distant. It's not so interesting, important, or pleasurable than the loving exchange with him. So this is a very interesting theological feature. View and reality also, truth. So Arjuna has this relationship which is called Sakyarasa. Sakyarasa means friendship. He has a very nice friendship with Krishna. And suddenly he sees in his best friend the whole universe. And he is quite shocked. And then he understands, you are actually not my friend. You are God, the Supreme Being. And then he speaks this verse where he says, thinking of you as my friend, I've rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Meaning he had a very personal relationship. No? If, you know, like to your boss or your professor in the university or something, you're very respectful, okay. But if you're with your friends, you hang out and say, hey, Carl, hey Max, hey, how's it going? And it's nice to have a very, you know, a relationship which is not overly respectful, of course. Like parents, husband, wife, you know, they are not, oh, yeah, they like each other. Friends, hey, how's it going? So he had a relationship like this with Krishna. But suddenly he realizes, I cannot do this, this is God. I cannot clap in his shoulder and do this and that. So he says, oh, I've addressed you like this. And then he says, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as relaxed, lay on the same bed. He was laying on the bed with Krishna, they were talking, hanging out like this, you know, like really good time, easy. Or we sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. So this is the relationship which Arjuna has with Krishna, a very intimate relationship, and suddenly Krishna shows him his grand feature of being God, being the universe and all this, and he is quite shocked. But now comes the point in the end, that the relationship which Arjuna has with Krishna, this friendship relationship, is higher than the realization that he's God. Very interesting point. When we start loving Krishna more and more, the relationship we develop in love and is much higher than the realization that he's God. And this is an interesting feature. And then we can love him really, unhampered. Because if you hang out with Krishna and all the time you know he's God, you cannot be so intimate. But when you know he's your best friend, you can be very intimate. Yeah. So and later on, Krishna takes away this vision, and Arjuna becomes pacified and says, "No, thank you what you have shown to me, but the form I see now, this is the real form of yours. The Saumya Rupa, this most beautiful form. Because this is the original form. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamang Bhajami. The original form of Krishna is Govinda. And from him emanate all the universes." He says also in the 10th chapter, 8th verse, what's this verse? Aham. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata savam prabhartate iti madhva pachantimang buddhabhava samanvita. From me emanate, everything comes from me, Krishna. Everything comes from me. From me emanate all the material and spiritual worlds. And someone who knows this worships me with all his heart. So Krishna says, I am the original person. Everything comes from me. He is the real, the highest reality. And the purpose of life is to re-establish our lost relationship with him, establish this loving relationship with him, and be eternally happy in a relationship, in a personal relationship with Krishna, the most wonderful, absolute person. Thank you very much for your attention. Any questions? Yeah?
How do we know which relationship you have with him?
And this relationship gets revealed in time.
But until this, you try this and try this? And
no, you don't try anything. You just follow the instructions of the spiritual master.
But when you pray to him and you call him all beloved and all friend, all...
Yeah.
All power or something, you are changing.
Yeah, okay, because these are mental concepts.
You follow the moods, what do you want to say?
Yeah. That's what I say. This real relationship will get revealed through the purification of the process in time. So in the beginning, we don't speculate. No? We just address him as the Supreme Person. You can say also my best friend. Whatever is your mood in that situation might be okay, but you understand the real identity and the real relationship will get revealed without doubt. No? Now it's doubtful. Might be this, might be that. And we quite tend to a relationship which suits our material identity. Meaning the boys like, of course, to be gopas. And the girls like to be gopis. Just in regular, it's kind of like this. No? It's hard for a girl to imagine for herself, oh, I'm the father of Krishna. And it's a little hard to imagine for a boy to imagine, I'm a gopi. You know? And when we become more advanced, yeah, okay, we can imagine, but to have really a relationship like this with Krishna, it's a little difficult, and it's artificial, and it shouldn't be done. But through the purification of the chanting, the process, it gets revealed, and then it's without a doubt. So we shouldn't speculate on this. Krishna will show this in time, when we are qualified.
So, we should not think about what is
you can wonder about, but you shouldn't imagine something like this. You can wonder, I wonder what it will be, but right now I don't know. And I think, oh, I think I am a peacock. Yes. No, I'm not a peacock. Peacock is stupid, it's a bird. I'm a cow. Like Govinda, I like Govinda. Okay, so I go now on the field and I practice being a spiritual cow in the spiritual world. And I, okay, Govinda, how is she doing? Okay, it's like this. Yes. And now I give milk. Okay, please don't. So, this is speculation, should be done. Or I'm a gopi and I have to try now. Okay, Mataji, can you lend me a sari, please? I need some. How to this? This is artificial, shouldn't be done. We'll get revealed. So, that means we need to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, meaning getting up for Mangalartik, chanting 16 rounds, following the morning program, doing the service, and then it will come automatically.
Behave
as a normal person. not become like, oh, I'm a this and that. You know? Sometimes devotees become a little crazy. Then it's the mix of this knowledge and the flashback of the LSD trips. Sometimes. Okay, anything more?
How old is Krishna?
Krishna is eternal.
He has no
age, but the eternal form of him is Kishore. Kishore meaning 16, 25, like this. A young boy, like a young boy. God's form is like a young boy. And Radharani is like a young girl. And this is God. Radha Krishna.
How is it to understand that he, as he came 5,000 years ago, Vrindavan, so small and...
Because he behaved as a normal being and he wanted to show and encourage the relationship of Vatsalya Ras with his parents. He wanted to go. So this is the amazing thing in Krishna, that he is not limited and he wants to experience and let his servants experience relationships and all relationships which are there. Yeah, in the spiritual world, eternally 16. Okay. Kishore. It's not Kishore.
Other spiritual planets where he's a baby and you can be his father.
Prabhupada says in the spiritual world, always Kishore. This is only in the Bauma Lila, meaning in the material world, when he behaves as a baby. You know, because this is a material feature. It's a feature of the material world. Like he was killing demons. In the spiritual world, there are no demons. So he displayed features of the material world to let other people who have material tendencies connect with him.
But how is it possible to have a relationship with him as a father in the past world when he is not a child? Is this possible?
I know. hast du eine Mutter oder einen Vater noch am Leben? Nee, nicht mehr. Ja. Okay, aber es gibt auch erwachsene Menschen, die haben auch noch Vater und Mutter und auch noch die Beziehung. So, das ist ja kein Problem, das ist nicht limitierend. Sorry. Okay, wir können noch über die Details nachher sprechen. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara, Srimad, Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Nitai Go Brahmanandi.